Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Now, today's message is the 15th message in a series that's intended to accompany a new book that we are offering. And the title of the new book is called, What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith. And in these messages and in the book, it's a journey through much of the Bible as to how the Bible defines what a true Christian is and what a true Christian is not. And I've tried to emphasize that the book and this series of messages, which we'll offer free of charge on DVD and CD, or however you want it, the book goes into much more depth, has much more information, many more scriptures. These are intended to be a guide for your study of the scriptures as you go through the process of what the Bible calls self-examination. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. And I have two messages that accompany the last chapter of the book of What is a Christian? And that chapter is entitled, or states this, that Christians persevere unto the end. True Christians are those who continue in salvation by the grace of God as they persevere unto the end there being their final glorification in heaven. Now, what we're talking about here is the biblical truth of the eternal security of the saved. And it states that true Christians are saved and eternally secure in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, and they cannot lose that salvation. They cannot lose it. Now, this is so important for us to understand from the Bible because there are so many people who call themselves Christians who believe that one can be saved and then through sinning in some way or to some degree or some amount, they can lose that salvation. But that is not what the Bible teaches. And I'm going to show you that in these last two messages of this series on what is a Christian. A true Christian, one who is truly saved by the grace of God, one who is truly in Christ and truly believes in Christ, is saved and secure forever. And I know the objections that come on that. You know, people say, well, you're saying then that it doesn't matter what we do or that we can go out and sin as much as we want to. That's not what the doctrine of eternal security teaches. The eternal security of the saved claims that salvation, a true Christian is secure in salvation, and as a result, they persevere in the faith. Now, they're still sinners. We're still sinners. There are only two types of people on this earth, sinners who are lost in their sins and sinners saved by grace. But once saved, always saved, if we're saved by God's grace through Christ, by His blood and righteousness alone. So one of the marks of true Christians, therefore, is that by the grace of God, they will persevere. That word means they will continue. They will endure to the end unto final glory in heaven. And the Bible reveals that those who fail to persevere, those who claim to be Christians and who fail to continue in the faith, all right, the Bible reveals that those who fail to persevere to the end were never saved at all, never saved to begin with. They may have claimed to be Christians. They may to other people looked like Christians. They may have gone through some great changes of character and conduct and all that, but they were never Christian to begin with. Their claim of salvation was false. Now, many who claim to be Christians, who believe that it's possible for a person to be saved and then lost and send their salvation away, they believe that for several reasons. Number one, they believe that because they believe salvation was never totally secured by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe it was always conditioned on them. And then secondly, they never believe that Christ's death, or they believe that Christ's death did not really secure the salvation of anyone. But it only made salvation possible if the sinner would do his or her part. But I want you to consider several things in this first message. Consider the following biblical statements concerning the eternal security of the saved and the ground of godly assurance. Now, I want you to see this from the Scripture. And I'm going to give you several statements where the Bible supports that once a person is truly saved by grace, that's a true Christian now, they will always be saved. And those who claim to be saved, but then who deny the faith later on, or who apostatize or fall away, that's what the word means, they were never Christians to begin with. And here's the first statement I want you to understand. Number one, God saves and preserves His true children unto final glory in heaven by His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves and preserves His true children unto final glory in heaven by His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see that stated out by the Savior Himself, by the Lord Himself in John chapter 10 and verse 27. And I want to encourage you to study the Bible on this, because this is not the only verse that teaches. When I give you these example verses, these are just one of many. But let's look at it. John chapter 10 and verse 27. The Lord had already said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The sheep are God's elect, the redeemed of the Lord. And he says in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, hearing his voice has to do with the gospel. The gospel that is empowered unto their salvation, their conversion, by the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, they follow Christ. They trust Christ. And he says in verse 28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Do you see that? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then, why is that? What is the basis, the source, the power, the foundation of it? Here it is, John 10, 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. You see that? It's all of God in Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, so many people today who claim to be Christian, they believe salvation in some way, at some stage, to some degree, is conditioned on them, and it is not. Now, there are grounds of salvation, and then there are fruits of salvation. The ground of salvation is totally what Christ has accomplished for His people in putting away their sins and making them righteous before God. And that's all of grace. Now, as a result of that, there are the fruits of salvation, the evidences of salvation, and that has to do with the faith, the repentance, the obedience, the perseverance of the believer. You see, it's not their faith, their repentance, or their perseverance that secures them to salvation. It's the grace of God in Christ that secures their salvation. The faith, the repentance, the obedience, the perseverance are the fruits and the evidences of it. They bring forth fruit unto God. The fruit is not the source of salvation. It's the evidence. The fruit is not the cause. It's not the ground. It's not the power. It's all the fruit. Now here's the second statement that I want you to see. God's grace and God's power through the Lord Jesus Christ ensures and enables true Christians not only to begin the Christian life and walk by believing in Christ unto salvation, but also to persevere in that faith unto heaven's glory. That's the key. Now, the Scripture tells us that God's people are justified by the grace of God. And remember what it is to be justified. To be justified means that you're not guilty. If you're justified before a holy God, you're not guilty. Now again, a true Christian is a justified sinner. Now that sounds like it's a contradiction, but you see, here's how it works. We're sinners, if we're a Christian, we're sinners, but we're saved by grace, which means that we're not guilty unto condemnation, because in Christ we have no condemnation. Our condemnation was endured by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He took the wrath of God in my place. And I'm justified before God in and by Him. There's no way that God can condemn me. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again and is seated on the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. So to be justified means that God will not and cannot charge me with sin, the guilt and defilement of sin, so as to condemn me. Why? Because He charged it to Christ. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Now, to be justified also means that I have a righteousness before God that answers all the demands of His law and justice. I have a perfect righteousness. And it's not one that I worked out. It's not one that I even appropriated. It's one God worked out through His Son in His obedience unto death as my surety and substitute, and one that is imputed, charged, accounted to me. So I'm justified before God. Now the Bible says those who are... Somebody said, and see, that had nothing to do with anything I am or anything I do or don't do. That justification is totally outside of me, what God has done for me by His grace. But, now somebody says, well, if that's true, then it doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter. I don't have to seek the Lord. I don't have to believe. Oh, no. How do I know that I'm justified? You understand that? What's the evidence of being justified before God in Christ? What's the evidence of having been chosen before the foundation of the world? What's the evidence? What's the fruit of being justified, redeemed by the blood of Christ? Well, the fruit of that is the new birth. Those who are justified shall be called, the Scripture says. Calling of the Spirit in the new birth, regeneration and conversion. And the Bible says, now this is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 through 39. Listen to it. Now the just, or the justified, shall live by faith. Now what is it to live by faith? Well, the Bible explains that all over the place. One Scripture we can go to is Hebrews 12, 2, where it says that we run the race of grace looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To live by faith means to live as we look totally to Christ for salvation, for forgiveness, for righteousness, for security, for final glory. It's to rest in Christ. It's to walk in Christ. Have the assurance of salvation. Now the just shall live by faith. But look on in Hebrews 10, 38. But if any man draw back, that is, leave it, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, true Christians, are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, a true Christian is not of them who draw back, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Back over in the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 19, John deals with this very issue. You see, just like in the book of Hebrews, there were Hebrew Christians who claimed to believe the gospel, who claimed to be saved, but then because of persecution and ridicule, they left the faith totally. And so Paul dealt with that. He said, we're not of them that draw back. Well, the Apostle John had the same problem into the ones to whom he was writing in the book of 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, here's what he says. He says, they. Now, the they that he's talking about are those who had a profession of Christianity, but who left it, who forsook Christ and the people of God. And he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. You see that? But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In fact, they're going out, you see. They're going out. They're leaving, just simply manifested the fact that they were never saved at all. They were never a part of the body of Christ. And John went on in the next verse, in 1 John 2:20, he wrote of true Christians, true believers. He says, but ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What is that unction? That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth to bring a sinner to faith in Christ and repentance. And the Holy Spirit indwells and empowers for perseverance. So you see, that's the reality. Here's the third biblical statement. And it's another reality. And that's this. And this shows us the reality of the security of the believer, the security of the saved, the eternal security, that true Christians will persevere. And it has to do with the reality of remaining sin and corruption within a true believer. That proves that we cannot save or preserve or keep ourselves unto final glory by our own power and wills. Do you understand this? Here's the point. The Bible teaches that if it were possible for a true Christian to fall away from the faith and lose salvation, it's a guaranteed thing. It would happen. There's no doubt about it. We're not able to save ourselves or to keep ourselves saved. Think about the Apostle Paul describing himself as a born-again person, a true Christian in Romans chapter 7, when he's talking about his inward struggle with sin. Verse 22, he makes this statement. He says, in Romans 7, 22, he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, the inward man is his heart, his spirit. And he can delight in the law of God after the inward man because he sees that law fulfilled by Christ for him. He looks by faith to Christ. In verse 23, he said, but I see another law, another powerful principle in my members, the members being his physical body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then he concludes it this way. He says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this, the body of this death? Who's going to deliver me from my sinful human nature and the corruption of sin? I can't do it. You can't do it for me. Well, who can do it? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, if it were possible for a true believer to lose salvation and to forsake the faith totally, then he would. Because we can't keep ourselves. We're in a believer, a true Christian, is in a warfare. We have three great enemies. Number one is the world. We are at war with the world. Christ said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Well, can we win that warfare by our own power, by our own goodness, by our own wills? Absolutely not. Christ said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." We win victory over the world because of what Christ has accomplished in our behalf. Talking about true Christians now. The next warfare we have is the warfare with Satan. War with the world and the war with the devil. Can we win that war with the devil? Absolutely not. The devil's more powerful than we are, but he's not more powerful than the Lord, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ told his disciples, he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God," his church that he builds. You see, I'm not the builder of the church. Christ is. I'm not the foundation of the church. Christ is. I'm not the glue that holds it all together. Christ is. I'm not the heart of the church. Christ is. And I'm not the head of the church. Christ is. And so he overcomes them. And whenever the devil charges me or attacks me, what am I to do? I'm to plead the blood of the Lamb of God. That hurls back his accusations. I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. The devil's accusing arrows cannot penetrate it. So he says, "I thank God." Well, our next enemy is ourselves, the war with the flesh, with the inward flesh, inward sin, the remaining inward sins of corruption that reside within us, our evil thoughts, evil motives, evil goals, evil desires. And we have to fight them. It's a daily warfare. We can't win the battle. How do we win this battle? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, here's the fourth statement by which the Bible supports the eternal security of the saved, that Christians will persevere unto the end, true Christians. And that is, God commands and brings His children to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ for all security and assurance of salvation. Now, I know that sounds just like repeating some of the others, but I need to emphasize this, and that's this. True Christians are neither commanded nor encouraged to seek assurance and peace and comfort of salvation based on their own efforts, their own power, or their own goodness. In other words, all security and assurance comes by God-given faith, as I stated before from Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able," Christ is able, not I'm able, I'm not able, Christ is able "to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day," against the day of God's wrath, against the day of judgment, against the day of trial, against the day of testing. He's able to keep, preserve that which I've committed unto Him. Now, what have I committed unto Him? I've committed unto Him my whole salvation. The point of what I'm making in this fourth statement is expressed very well in the old hymn, which I often quote on this program, "The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Here's the fifth statement. Security and salvation and assurance of salvation by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is the basis and motivation for all godliness, all obedience, and all good works. You see, the true Christian knows he has one righteousness before holy God, and that's the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We state it, I repeat it so often, Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end, the perfection, fulfillment, completion, finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And the obedience of a believer is motivated not by legal fears of punishment or loss of reward, and it's not motivated by mercenary promises of earned reward. You see, we're not forced slave. If you're a true Christian, you're not a forced slave. You're a willing, loving bondservant serving the master because you love him, because he has shown you the debt has been paid. You didn't pay the debt. I didn't pay the debt. Christ paid it. In other words, a believer's continuance, perseverance, obedience is not aimed at making himself righteous before God. A believer's obedience, service, worship, all of that is motivated by the fact that Jesus Christ has already accomplished salvation, righteousness, completely for him and given it to him freely. And therefore he acts, he serves out of gratitude, grace, and love. He's not a legal slave. He's not in bondage. He's free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. And he's not a mercenary. He's not out for hire. He's not serving God for what he can get out of God. He's serving God because he loves him. Paul said, "The love of Christ constrains me." Now in the Bible, that's called fruit unto God. You see, before a person is born again by the Spirit and brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, all of his efforts to obey, all of his efforts to keep the law, all of his efforts to serve and worship God are called fruit unto death. But when he sees the completeness, the absolute sovereign grace of God in Christ, then he becomes a willing, loving servant of God. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.